Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 9th of August 2025. This is Kathy and your other reader is Eleanor. The editor this week is also Eleanor. We are both members of Team One. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. Our sponsors this week are Bridge Garage Services, just behind Pets at Home Apsley. They have over 30 years' experience in all types of car and van amenity and servicing. Telephone number 235 412. Website bridgegaragehemel.co.uk. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442, unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines: New garden that's naturally welcomed, objections to church plan, free heritage events, and a party atmosphere. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Eleanor. A new community garden has been opened in Hemel Hempstead, featuring a windmill and plants that are pollinator friendly. Called the Windmill Garden, it is located in Broadfield Road and has been designed to celebrate the area's strong history of promoting nature. It has been revealed that staff and volunteers from the Sunnyside Rural Trust and Decorum Borough Council got the site ready for the public last month. This involved building the raised beds and planting the flowers while transforming the overall plot of land. A launch event was held at the garden and was open to the public. Guests could enjoy refreshments from the charity and children's entertainment was organised. One resident who attended, Anthony Christoffi, said, "The new green space on Windmill Road has been such a lovely change. I often take my son there before or after school. It's become one of our favourite spots. It's not just greener, it feels more alive, with birds, bees and wildflowers everywhere. It's made a real difference to our little corner of Adeyfield. Huge thanks to the council for creating something so special for the community." It has been revealed that young people and adults with learning differences will use the site to gain independence through growing plants and designing the garden. Councillor Simi Dayani added, "This new community garden not only brings people together in a shared green space, but also honours Adeyfield's history as the site of a working windmill. It was so lovely to meet residents at the opening event and hear their positive comments about the garden. I hope the community can enjoy the space for many years to come."
Plans to knock down and then build a new church in Berkhamsted have been sent to Decorum Borough Council. Plans to demolish King's Road Church and replace it with an expanded site have been sent to the authority. A planning application was submitted last month. A spokesman for the church revealed the building would be used for services and other events within the week. With the planning statement submitted to the Borough Council, it has been noted that in a previous heritage report, the current church building was described as a bland and monotonous piece of urban architecture. Within the statement, it is argued that the current church is too small and that the building is in a bad state of repair. Due to the flaws with the current site, the parish has been holding services at Bridgewater School. A church representative makes the case for the regeneration of the site due to its importance within the local community, citing popular creche service and food banks it has run in the past. However, dozens of residents have submitted objections to the proposals, with 145 being lodged in comparison to just 10 comments supporting the scheme. The application notes that changes have been made to reflect concerns raised by the public regarding previous attempts to redevelop property. These changes include lowering the height of the building from 4 storeys to 2.5 decks, the removal of a front column, changes to the parking system to allow hearses or wedding cars to keep off the street, and a bat enclosure. One unconvinced objector argued that the church would still loom over nearby residential properties and stated that the parking scheme was inadequate. Another objector argued that a scheme of this size would not work in a built-up residential area, and that whenever a road is closed off, people who live in the neighbourhood see their cars get scraped, dented and damaged. They added that locals regularly witness road rage incidents. A conservation officer representing the Borough Council remains against the idea, given the importance of the 19th century chapel that would be knocked down. Hertfordshire Fire and Rescue Service remained concerned with the ability of its appliances to access the site.
We're fast approaching that fantastic time of year when England's largest festival of history and culture, Heritage Open Days, comes to Hemel Hempstead. It's a great opportunity to discover hidden places and try out new experiences right on your doorstep. And the best bit, they're all completely free to enjoy. Running from Friday the 12th of September through to Sunday the 21st of September, this year's events will give you the opportunity to discover your local heritage and culture like never before. The Hemel Local History Society is organising 17 events at 9 different local places of historic interest. Whether you're interested in the early Quakers who helped build our town, our industrial past at the Frogmore Paper Mill, the buildings in the old town that date to the 1500s, or the Roman house and baths in Gadebridge, there are tours and guided walks to whet everyone's interest. Details for all local events and those wider afield can be viewed online at heritageopendays.org.uk. Mike Atkins, chairman of Hemel's History Society, said, "This is a great opportunity for people to delve into our local history to find out more about the people that lived here and the historic places that remain. We're particularly excited that Dr. David Neal, the archaeologist who first excavated the Gadebridge Roman Villa and Bathhouse following its discovery in the 1960s, is returning to provide tours of the site and to explain what lays under our feet. In addition to the Roman Villa, we've arranged guided tours of Geoffrey Jellicoe's Water Gardens and Friends Meeting House in the Old Town, which dates to the 1700s, St John's Church in Boxmoor, the Old Town Hall, Frogmore Paper Mill, which was the birthplace of paper's industrial revolution, Roman Field School, and the Gadespring Watercress Beds. And there'll be a guided walk of the Old Town buildings and explanations about the people who lived there all those years ago." Alan Olive from Hemel History Society said, "We're grateful to Decorum Borough Council, Decorum Heritage, Boxmoor Trust, Frogmore Paper Mill and others for helping us deliver these exciting events so people can find out about their past. To find out more, just go to heritageopendays.org.uk and search for events in Hemel Hempstead. Tickets will be available from the 18th of August."
Gadebridge Park in Hemel Hempstead will be hosting live tribute bands, local bands and DJs as part of Hemelfest. Come along with the whole family and enjoy 3 days of live entertainment. Friday, August the 8th, 5 p.m. to 11 p.m, a party atmosphere with DJs and dance music, along with UK Garage by Artful Dodger, not to be missed. Headliner Munker will bring a fully immersive 3D show that showcases traditional DJ sets. Saturday, August the 9th, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m, Saturday will offer a day of cover bands and top tribute acts: Urban Echoes, DeLorean, Pet Shop Boys Actually, the UK Bee Gees, Complete Madness, Ultimate Coldplay, and Don't Stop Queen Now. There'll be a range of street food providers and bars, an 18-metre-long festival bar, Pim's Truck, and 2 other bars. Festival glitter art, face painting, and festival hair will be available. On Sunday, August the 10th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m, free, a huge street food event with live bands, DJs and a relaxed atmosphere. Tickets are available at www.hemelfest.co.uk.
This week in history, August the 9th, 1969, the bodies of actress Sharon Tate, 8 months pregnant, and four others were found butchered at a Beverly Hills mansion. Members of a commune known as The Family, led by Charles Manson, were later arrested, tried, and jailed. August the 10th, 1990, the Magellan space probe reached Venus. On this day last year, former Strictly Come Dancing professional Graziano Di Prima said he was not an abusive man and vowed to dance again following allegations about his treatment of a past participant in the show. Di Prima revealed his exit from Strictly after allegations were made about his treatment of his 2023 celebrity dance partner, former Love Island star Zara McDermott. August the 11th, 1975, the government took ownership of British Leyland, the only major British-owned car company. August the 12th, 1960, communications satellite Echo was launched from Cape Canaveral. August the 13th, 1961, East German border guards stopped cars passing to the east through the Brandenburg Gate, thus sealing the border and preventing an exodus to the west. Barbed wire was erected, later to be replaced by the Berlin Wall. On this day last year, UK earnings growth slowed to its lowest for more than 2 years, as the rate of unemployment also surprisingly dropped, according to official figures.
Leaders in Hertfordshire will have the power to decide whether to take advantage of lighter touch licensing rules in hospitality zones, Business and Trade Secretary Jonathan Reynolds has told the local Democracy Reporting Service. The government announced its small business plan, which aims to help entrepreneurs with measures including stricter rules on late payments and increasing access to finance. It also includes reforms to licensing and planning rules to make it easier for cafes and bars to open in empty shops, to speed up the process for businesses to get permission for pubs, bars and outside dining, and to protect long-standing venues from noise complaints. Hospitality zones will be areas where permission for extended opening hours, outside dining and street parties will be fast-tracked. Mr. Reynolds said it would be up to local authorities to decide whether and where they want to create such zones. He said, "We all recognise the contribution this sector makes. Perhaps you're looking to open a business, to move a business. You'd want to go to that cluster of properties that properly reflects that, and you'd want, I think, to take advantage of the lighter touch regulation that would exist within them." While he wouldn't be drawn on whether he'd like to see the centre of Watford, Hertfordshire's largest town, designated as a hospitality zone, Mr. Reynolds said, "I want to see town centres regenerated across the UK. We can look at it and say, have we got the right selection of tools up and down the country to make sure we can make town centres the success stories they should be? I still believe there's a fundamental need to have spaces where people come together that reflect the local identity of an area. And I think we can make the overall policy framework that underpins that a much easier one for people. This is what it's about. Those decisions will be made locally, but I do think we're doing the right thing in having a better menu of options available for local areas to pick from."
Continuing the previous story, Mr. Reynolds hopes the broader reforms to help small businesses will benefit people in Hertfordshire, including those who run or would like to run stalls in markets in Watford, Stevenage, St. Albans and beyond. He focused on the government's crackdown on late payments to small business and said, It is something which is usually cited as the single biggest concern to small businesses. It costs the country a staggering amount of money. It's about £11 billion a year. It's very significant, and we will become the country in the G7 with the toughest late payment laws. The Small Business Commissioner will be given stronger powers to take action against larger firms that persistently choose to pay their suppliers late and to enforce a 30-day invoice verification period. New legislation will introduce a 60-day limit for paying up, which will reduce to 45 days in time. There will also be a requirement for audit committees to scrutinise payment practices at big companies. Mr. Reynolds said, "This applies to the public sector and the private sector. Any government department or local council, I expect to abide by these terms as well." There's been some good consultations in the past on this. Nothing's really happened to the degree it is going to happen under this plan, so it's very significant. Other changes include a big financial boost to the number of start-up loans that are available to a new generation of entrepreneurs and small business owners, and additional support for non-traditional lenders. The changes should represent good news for some of the businesses hit by the government's increase in employers' national insurance contributions. Mr. Reynolds said, "I think business owners themselves recognise that sometimes you've got to make difficult decisions, and they recognise the scale of the funding challenge we inherited. I'm always trying, in the thing that I've got control of, to make life easier for small business owners and to give them time and money if I can."
Three frontline staff working for the East of England Ambulance Service Trust, EEAST, are pursuing a pregnancy and maternity discrimination claim against it. The workers, who are supported by the GMB union, had a grievance partially upheld against the trust in January 2025 due to a shortfall in pay relating to unsocial hours entitlements when placed on alternative duties due to pregnancy. GMB believes the practice was discriminatory, resulting in a significant financial loss for the women affected, and significantly impacted on their physical and mental health. The union also states that several ambulance staff members have reported that EEAST continues to fail pregnant paramedics in relation to their unsocial hours pay, despite GMB members raising a grievance and submitting a claim against the trust. Donna Thomas, GMB regional organiser, said, "Most pregnant women are stood down from frontline ambulance work to keep them and their unborn child safe. The health and safety of pregnant women is essential, and so is their financial security. GMB is deeply disappointed to hear further allegations that EEAST continues to discriminate against pregnant staff by failing to pay them the unsocial hours they would have been paid if they were not stood down from frontline duties." An East of England Ambulance Service NHS Trust spokesman said, "Operational staff are paid a bonus for working unsocial hours. Those staff who are moved to alternative working duties because of pregnancy continue to be paid this bonus in line with National NHS Agenda for Change guidance. Because of shift variation, we calculate an average of this unsocial hours bonus over a 3-month period. We have now resolved a grievance case over how that level is calculated, and colleagues have been paid in full. In future, the Trust will work with the employees to select 3 months from the last 12 months to ensure the average is a fair representation of average hours worked across 3 months. We are committed to supporting our workforce and ensuring that all employees are treated fairly and consistently per national guidance."
As the summer term drew to a close, Hemel Independent Day School, Abbots Hill, hosted its first Culture Day to celebrate the richness and vibrancy of its diverse school community and to help pupils explore themes of identity and belonging. The off-timetable event saw the whole school take part in a day of learning and fun musical workshop activities with a thought-provoking interfaith panel discussion amidst a host of inspirational speakers. Designed to celebrate difference and to help everyone feel seen, heard, respected and valued, the school was keen to showcase how diverse environments can benefit creativity, problem-solving and teamwork. The day began with a special whole school assembly looking at what culture means and how we can use it better to understand each other. After this, pupils across all year groups got involved in a range of different activities, from a global greetings workshop, Mandarin and Arabic language carousel, and a South African dance workshop, culture challenge task and quiz, and an exciting Dole drumming workshop. Mayessa Hamdan, inclusion lead at Abbots Hill School, explained, "I feel truly honoured and privileged to have hosted our school's first ever Culture Day. The day was about more than celebration, though. It was about creating space for understanding and connection while taking pride in who we are as individuals. By exploring and embracing the many cultures that shape our school community, we're taking meaningful steps towards a more inclusive and compassionate environment. I'm incredibly proud of our students and staff for engaging so wholeheartedly in this important day." The Day of Culture Discovery also involved an East meets West session, looking at the differences in medicines, while an interfaith panel discussion during the morning saw eight amazing speakers of different faiths and beliefs come together to share their experiences with the pupils. The school also heard from fascinating keynote speaker Jimmy Ngoma, a podcast host, speaker and award-winning senior leader of the financial services industry, who spoke to the students about her own culture, as well as matters of identity and racism. "It's not enough to simply acknowledge that we come from different backgrounds. We must make space for each other, learn from each other, and celebrate the stories that shape who we are. Today's Culture Day was very much an extension of this, and we look forward to the next one," added Miss Hamdan. Abbot Hill has recently been shortlisted in the Independent School of the Year Awards for the Diversity, Equality, Inclusion and Justice category.
Amy Gibson, a student nurse, and William Roast, a student, both from Hemel Hempstead, are currently with nearly 500 UK Scouts on a once-in-a-lifetime international adventure known as World Scout Moot in Portugal. 9,000 Scouts from across the world, aged between 18 and 25 years old, are gathered in Portugal for the 16th World Scout Moot. The adventure began in Tejo Park in Lisbon on the 25th of July and will finish in Porto. Throughout the jam-packed event, Amy and William are immersing themselves in Portuguese communities and culture. The international scouting event includes a four-day expedition during which participants group with scouts from other countries and take one of 100 routes through remote parts of Portugal. After the expedition, Amy and William's groups reconvene with the other participants to have the remaining days filled with scouting activities, international cultural learning and skill development at a camp base in Ovar, before the closing celebration and heading back home. Full of anticipation as they get ready to leave for the adventure, Amy said, "This is my first international scout event and I'm so excited to get stuck in. I can't wait to take on new challenges, learn loads of practical skills and have an unforgettable time along the way. Meeting scouts from around the world and making new friends is just the icing on the cake." William said, "I am excited to take part in my first World Scouting event. I am so looking forward to meeting and working with other young adults from around the world. I want to make loads of new friends, learn new skills, and find out about Portugal and its culture. This year's theme of World Scout Moot is Engage. The event encourages scouts to connect with others and their community through cross-cultural exchange, understanding, and friendship. World Scout Moot not only gives participants their own unique experiences, but the opportunity to embed the skills and internal drive to positively impact the world around them. Opportunities like this continue to be created thanks to the support of the players of People's Postcode Lottery. Chief Scout Dwayne Fields wished Amy and William well prior to their departure by saying, "A massive good luck to Amy and William and all the UK Scouts who are at the World Scout Moot. This is an amazing opportunity to discover yourself and the world around us while exploring how you can create meaningful change. The true international spirit of scouting will shine through, with so many chances to learn from other scouts around the world. I know each UK scout attending will grab the opportunity to create memories, friendships, and skills to last a lifetime. We know that too many young people today grow up unhappy and worried about their future. Scouts aims to change that. We give young people a chance to belong and a place to be themselves."
Beavers, cubs and scouts from various troops gathered for an exhilarating activity day on the 13th of July. The event saw participation from 1st Apsley, 4th Hemel, 1st Bovingdon, 1st Bennett's End, King's Langley and 16th Watford South, all uniting for a day brimming with excitement, camaraderie and outdoor challenges. The event was meticulously planned by the dedicated leaders of 1st Apsley and 4th Hemel and hosted by 1st Apsley Scouts Headquarters. Approximately 150 children joined the festivities. The day was a mix of activities designed to cater every interest and skill level, from archery, where young scouts honed their aim and precision, to water sports that had them splashing and paddling under the summer sun. One of the highlights of the day was the creation of pizza pockets prepared by the young scouts and cooked on an open fire. Team games fostered a spirit of friendly competition and teamwork. Groups of young scouts collaborated, strategized, and competed in various games that tested their agility, coordination, and cooperative skills. In a test of creativity and engineering, scouts were challenged to build marshmallow towers. With sticky fingers and imaginative minds, they constructed structures that reached for the sky, showcasing their problem-solving abilities and teamwork. A particular thrill was one of the canoeing sessions was graced by the presence of the Mayor of Decorum, Catherine Makarivi. Paddling alongside and with the Mayor, the young scouts experienced the joy of gliding through the water. The Mayor's participation added a touch of prestige to the event, inspiring the young scouts with her involvement and enthusiasm. Without the amazing volunteers who give up their time to help run bases, the Beavers, Cubs and Scouts wouldn't have these types of opportunities. Their dedication and support made this day of adventure and fun possible, creating lasting memories for our young scouts.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on and any more news. Following an increase in reports, Hertfordshire Constabulary, alongside RSPCA, are reminding all residents that dogs die in hot cars. Unfortunately, despite what should be common sense, we are still receiving reports during the summer months of dogs being left in parked cars, usually around public parks, supermarkets, swimming pools and pubs. Although windows being slightly lowered may provide some minor ventilation, it does not reduce the internal temperature that even at 20 degrees Celsius, within as little as 10 minutes, the temperature can rise to 32 degrees Celsius. If a dog appears in distress or to be suffering from heat stroke, excessive panting, drooling, or vomiting, please call 999, as we have specific powers to force entry to alleviate animal suffering. Please ensure to obtain the number plate so we can make inquiries as to the vehicle owner and to locate them should they leave before we arrive. Please remember that although your dog may look sad when you leave them to head out on a warm day, they'll survive without a daily walk, but they won't in a hot car. For more advice, please go on to the RSPCA website.
Hearts Connected, in conjunction with Scam Alert and Hertfordshire Constabulary, have a scam alert regarding the Lifeline service. Please be aware of a scam involving the Lifeline service. This service is legitimate and is designed to assist particularly vulnerable people with what are known as community alarms should they require assistance. A company called Medical Alert Services is contacting Decorum Borough Council tenants, claiming that the Lifeline unit will stop working once the switch to digital is made. Medical Alert Services are then requesting sensitive information, such as bank account details, addresses, and KeySafe numbers. This is a scam. Should you have the Lifeline service or know of someone who does, please tell them about this scam. And if you receive a phone call from them, it should be reported immediately to a supporting housing officer and the police on 101. Decorum Borough Council have acted quickly with a letter to residents, and this is a further alert to inform everyone.
Rogue traders at your doorstep, hints and tips. What is a rogue trader? Rogue traders are people who appear to be qualified tradespeople who offer to do work at your home. They may pressure you into having work completed immediately by suggesting that urgent works are required to your property. Common services offered by rogue traders or cold callers include general building work, gardening work, roofing, repairs and maintenance, and driveway resurfacing. What are some of the warning signs to look out for? Requesting large upfront payments, no written quotes, no physical business address, no ID or credentials, applying pressure to agree to work, limited time special offers, asking for sensitive information, refusing to take no for an answer. What shall I do if they knock on the door? Do your research and find a reputable tradesperson. Ask to see their ID or credentials. Report any suspicious behaviour to the police or citizens' advice. Ask friends or family for advice. Ask for a written quote. Don't open the door if you're not sure. Don't agree to any work on the doorstep. Don't hand over any cash on the doorstep. Don't let anyone into your home. Don't believe claims there is urgent work to be done on your property. Anyone approached on their doorstep who has concerns or feels threatened should call Hertfordshire Police on 101 or, in case of an emergency, 999.
A special event to provide quality information, advice and help available within the local community on a wide range of services available to reduce vulnerability of our senior citizens, to provide reassurance, safe and well-being support and reduce loneliness. An OPALS, Older Person Activity Learning and Safety event is taking place on Wednesday the 13th of August at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Highfield Community Centre, Fletcher Way, Belgate, Hemel Hempstead, HP2 5SB. If you feel that you know someone who would benefit from the event, then please pass this message on to them. All event guests will be seated and served refreshments and a free hot meal. Representatives from a variety of agencies will give advice and on the services they offer. It's a sociable event and a great opportunity to meet other residents in the local area. Agencies not giving talks will have stalls that you can visit to get advice, collect some safety-related information and freebies. The event lasts around 4 hours. Please arrive on time and ensure you do not miss out on the speakers or freebies on offer. Act of Kindness bags will be handed out at the end of the event. The event is targeted to our elderly citizens. If you would like to attend, please contact Terry Morris on 07740 670 642 or email terry.morris@hertfordshire.gov.uk with names and contact information. Spaces are limited, so if you don't want to miss out, then please reserve a space quickly.
The first brick has been placed on site at Barrett Homes and David Wilson Homes, Chaldon Meadows development of Long Chaldon, Hemel Hempstead. Chaldon Meadows will offer 1,100 two- to five-bedroom new homes with the site and two show homes set to launch in autumn, and the first residents poised to move in at the start of 2026. Hemel Hempstead, previously formed as one of the government's designated new towns in 1947 and has since grown considerably since the initial post-war master plan. Chaldon Meadow is set to make a significant positive contribution towards Dracorum Borough Council's target of delivering 10,000 new homes by 2050 and five-year housing land supply, whilst providing the Borough Council and local community with a distinctive and sustainable development. Working closely with Dracorum Borough Council and Hertfordshire County Council, the development is also set to deliver new local facilities, including a primary school, local convenience retail unit, a community hub and square, alongside a children's day nursery, specialist accommodation for the elderly, and contributions towards local health service improvements. Up to 40% of homes will also be affordable and will be managed by a housing association. The homes will also deliver a wealth of sustainable features within its homes and surrounding areas, including public landscaping, a network of accessible and linked walking and cycling roads, ecological mitigation, sustainable drainage systems, earthworks, ecological habitats, one neighbourhood equipped area of play, two locally equipped areas of play, and a community games area. Through their S106 agreements, Barrett Homes and David Wilson Homes will also invest a total amount of £12.6 million into the local community. This will help to fund essential infrastructure, education, transport, biodiversity and community services.
And continuing the previous article, Mark Wolfe, Sales and Marketing Director at Barrett David Wilson North Thames, comments, originally created as a response to Get Britain Building after the Second World War, new towns in the home counties have a proven track record of boosting local economies, providing quality homes in the areas people want to live, and ensuring residents have access to all the facilities they need to create relatively autonomous communities. Chaldon Meadows will expand on this progress as we are seeing an increasing number of first-time buyers heading up the M1 in search of more reasonable house prices. Due to the site's location, we expect high interest over the next few months during our official launch. Sandwiched between the towns of Hemel Hempstead and Berkhamsted, Chaldon Meadows is extremely well served by public transport and easy road use. The local railway station is within walking distance, offering connections to London Euston in under 30 minutes. For road use, the development leads to the A41, allowing easy access to M1 and M25. Hemel Hempstead itself boasts its own old town features in Netflix's Afterlife, an indoor skiing and snowboarding centre, the Snow Centre, and further afield, Warner Brothers Studio Tours is under a 15-minute drive away.
The obituaries on the family announcement page this week are Janine Glass, née Mitchell, known as Jan, aged 80 years, and Keith Gay, aged 92 years. May they both rest in peace.
What's on? On Friday the 15th of August to Sunday the 17th of August, Latimer Music Festival 2025. Enjoy a weekend of concerts in the historic village church of St Mary Magdalene in Latimer, 5 miles south of Berkhamsted. Music to include pieces by Bach, Beethoven and Weber for piano and string quintet, an evening of opera favourites, and a piano and violin recital. Book online at latimermusic.org.uk/concerts-2025. On Saturday the 16th of August, John Sayers Almshouses are having another open day in Berkhamsted High Street. Everyone is invited to come and visit the historic almshouse from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. to see the gardens and hear about the latest progress in the restoration project. There'll be tea, coffee and cake in the garden, free entry, donations welcome. The almshouses were established in 1681 from a bequest by John Sayer, whose black marble tomb stands in the Lady Chapel in St Peter's Church, Berkhamsted. Sayer was a wealthy parishioner who was chief cook to King Charles II and was mentioned in the diary of Samuel Pepys.
Friday the 5th of September at 7 p.m, the Berkhamsted Society Wine Tasting. The Berkhamsted Society is holding its annual wine tasting evening in Dean's Hall, Berkhamsted School, on Castle Street. Father Michael Eggleton will introduce everyone to wines from different countries and will just discuss wine regions, grape varieties and tasting techniques. A selection of cheeses and bread will also be served. Tickets are £26 per person. Group and table tickets are available. Proceeds from the tickets will go to Tariro, Hope for Youth in Zimbabwe, and the St. Matthias Tafara community, over 18s only. On Thursday, 25th of September, to the Sunday, the 28th of September, is the Graham Greene International Festival. The Graham Greene International Festival returns in September, celebrating the life and writing of the Berkhamsted-born novelist. This year's special guest is the Scottish satirist, writer and broadcaster, Amanda Iannucci, Alan Partridge and the Thick of It. The programme will include presentations and discussions about The Third Man and the Mexican background to The Power and the Glory, a tour of the World War I trenches, and screenings of two films based on Greene's novels, Ministry of Fear and Brighton Rock. Events will take place at the Civic Centre, the Town Hall and Berkhamsted School.
Households in Hertfordshire throw away less waste and recycle more than the national average, county councillors were told. At the latest meeting of the council's cabinet was told that in 2023-24, Hearts households threw away an average of 444.5 kilograms of residual or non-recyclable waste, 57.4 kilograms less than the national average of 501.9 kilograms. According to a report, this continued the decline which was experienced following the increase which occurred during COVID-19 and its associated lockdowns. The data also shows that 52% of household waste in Hertfordshire was recycled or composted in 2023-24, compared with 51.2% the year before. This is almost 10 percentage points higher than the 42.3% for England and over 6 points higher than the rate recorded in the eastern region. Over the same period, 12% of local authority collected waste in Hertfordshire was sent to landfill, which was lower than the 19.4% across the eastern region, but higher than the 5.5% nationally. Performance in Hertfordshire, as well as regionally and nationally, directly reflects the availability of contracted energy recovery facilities, says the report. There was an increase in the period of municipal waste sent to landfill from 22-23, 10.7%. During the 23-24, the use of Great Moor ERF in Buckinghamshire was not available. A range of new residual waste contracts are in place for Hertfordshire from April 2024. These mean that no waste is anticipated to be sent directly to landfill. A residual amount of waste, e.g. waste rejected from the recycling processes, however, is likely to continue and be sent indirectly to landfill.
Arriva bus drivers based in Hemel Hempstead are being balloted over potential strike action by the Unite Union. Around 700 of the union's members, including drivers, have until September the 4th to have their say on whether to take industrial action over pay. The ballot covers workers across both Arriva, the Shires, and Arriva Kent Thameside, based at 5 different depots. As well as Hemel Hempstead, out of which 30 routes operate per day, workers based in Luton, Milton Keynes, Stevenage and Ware are also being balloted. Any strikes could begin in late September, with members balloted including drivers, managerial and administrative staff, engineers, cleaners and shunters. Unite claims Arriva has offered drivers an increase of 65 pence per hour, equivalent to 3.82% for a bus driver backdated to January 1st, 2025. They describe this offer as below inflation and claim it comes at the end of a financial year in which Arriva was purchased by new American owners, One Squared Capital. Unit Regional Officer Jeff Hodge said, "Our members at Arriva work very hard. This is a skilled and stressful job and should be rewarded for their efforts with a decent pay rise, especially when Arriva is such a profitable company. We appreciate local residents may be frustrated with any potential industrial action, but the fault lies with the employer. We urge Arriva to come back and offer a better deal for our members to avoid any strikes." In a statement provided to National World, Arriva said, "We are aware that Unite plans to ballot its members about industrial action. We'd like to reassure our customers that our bus services continue to operate as timetabled, and we will update our customers if the situation changes. We will continue to work with Unite to seek a resolution."
Basketball. Hemel Storm have confirmed that Mark Clark will be leaving his role as head coach after a successful 2-year spell that yielded both a league and a playoff title, writes Callum Humphrey. Personal commitments mean that Clark can no longer commit to the strenuous demands associated with leading the team. Clark joined Storm at the start of the 2023-24 season with a wealth of experience already under his belt. Coming in off the back of the unbeaten, quadruple-winning 2022-23 campaign was never going to be easy, but Clark used all of his expertise to guide the team to an NBL Division I playoff title, beating Reading Rockets 87-84 in the final after a third-placed regular season finish. With Clark still in charge, Storm dominated the 2024-25 NBL Division 1 regular season and coasted to the league title. But it wasn't to be in the playoffs this time round, agonisingly losing out to the Rockets, but it was another campaign to be proud of for Clark and his troops. Clark has also played a big part in the establishment of the new British Championship Basketball, BCB League, after being nominated as a director on behalf of the club, and he will continue in this role, as well as working as close advisor with Storm. A club statement read, "Everyone at Hemel Storm would like to place on record their gratitude towards Mark, and we look forward to continuing our relationship in a new format. His replacement will be announced in due course."
Football. Hemel Hempstead Town will finally get their National League South season underway this weekend when they host Maidstone United. The Tudors ended pre-season with a 4-0 win over a young Luton Town side last weekend, meaning they'll go into the league opener in positive fashion after an encouraging summer. And boss Lee Allinson told the club's media that he was pleased with what he saw from his side's final outing. He said, "I feel it was obviously a totally different game to what we've been used to over the last 2 weeks. We played two different shapes in both halves, which I felt was important, just so we know what we're going into next week, what we want to do and how we want to play. I thought in the first half we couldn't get to grips with their shape for about 15 minutes and it caused us all sorts of problems. Once we got to grips with that, I thought we were very solid, very strong, very physical and played good football. Overall, I thought it was a really good workout for us. Minutes in the bank, no injuries and people like Charlie Rowan coming through unscathed is a real positive afternoon." Assessing the challenge of Maidstone, Allinson is under no illusions as to the task at hand. He said, "I think what George Ellacobe and his management team do there is brilliant. They're organised and strong and don't concede goals. So we have to go and match that, and we need to be big and strong, and then obviously the best team will win. It's going to be a great game and I'm really looking forward to it, as are the players, and hopefully the supporters will be here in their numbers and getting behind the boys. They've been magnificent for us. They've been supportive and we need them every single week. We need a lot of noise, a lot of singing and banging the drum, because Maidstone will bring a good number of fans and I expect a really top game. Following the game with Maidstone, Hemel will then go to Slough Town a week later with Maidenhead United hosting the Tudors 3 days later."
Cricket. It was another great weekend for Hemel Hempstead Cricket Club's first as they made it in three in a row. The first 11A versus Reed in the championship, put in by Reed and bowled out for 159, Hemel were a bit unsure of what they were facing. Admittedly, they'd won at Reed the last 2 years they had been in the championship, but things might have changed since their relegation and promotion last year. However, Hemel move up to fifth in the championship and Reed sink to ninth and a possible relegation again. The second 11, H, versus Chorley Wood, second 11, in Division 3A. Hemel stands up to the dizzying heights of the sixth in Division 3A, whilst Chorley Wood languish in 10th, bottom. Third 11, A, versus Old Elizabethans and second 11, in Division 6A. Top of the table clash, which saw Hemel come out on top of and move into second place in Division 6A, 19 points ahead of now third place Os Elizabethans and 7 points behind first place Aldenham. Fourth 11H versus Pinner, second 11, Division 8 West. Having beaten Pinner at their place earlier in season, Hemel were unable to repeat the feat at home and were thus the only Hemel side to lose last Saturday. The 5th 11 H versus Eton Bray's 2nd 11, Division 12 West. Tony Linfoot, captain of Hemel's fifths, was visibly smirking on Saturday night as his side's victory had moved Hemel back to the top of the division, with Eton Bray now second, 13 points between the two, with Bushy thirds and further 2 points behind in third place.
Going green, Angela Terry writes, I heard Donald Trump ranting about wind farms near his golf course. Is he right about them? In a visit to Scotland, the American president moaned about renewable energy, particularly wind turbines. However, his comments about them, and particularly their cost, is simply wrong. The overwhelming majority of people in the UK support more renewable energy, not less. The wind is free, so the cost of electricity will reduce as we rely less on globally traded expensive fossil fuels. Wind turbines work by harvesting the wind and very cleverly turn to face into the direction of the wind. The higher the tower, the faster the wind, and the longer the blades, the more power they generate, which is why offshore wind turbines are so impressive. As the blades rotate, electricity is generated like a reverse fan. Cables then transfer the green electrons down the turbine to a transformer. From the substation, the electricity is connected into the network, and the energy flows into our homes to keep the lights on and power our economy. As an island, the British Isles has some of the best wind resources in Europe, especially in winter when demand is greatest, which is why offshore wind farms are booming, creating jobs and boosting our economy. Crucially, as a renewable energy source, no politician can stop the wind, as Putin did to gas supplies when Russia invaded Ukraine. Nor does the wind run out, unlike North Sea gas and oil reserves. So wind power is good for UK PLC, strengthens energy security, and are excellent for the environment. When gas is burnt in power stations, it produces carbon dioxide. This is the main pollution responsible for global warming. So every unit of electricity from wind is less pollution put into the atmosphere. So the quicker we get off gas, the better for all of us and for protecting future generations. The clean energy transition is happening all over the world, including in China, as it is a fabulous new industry that the UK is embracing. We have decreased our greenhouse gas emissions by over 50%, which is incredible. So the UK is not only world leading, but with the right policies, we still have a chance to hit our legally binding net zero targets, according to Professor Piers Forster, the chairman of the Climate Change Committee. Donald Trump makes strong but wrong statements. For energy security and climate, the cost of inaction is huge, which is why the UK, along with the rest of the world, is going green. Extreme weather has a huge cost to our wealth and our health, and sadly, the polluters, the big oil and gas companies, do not pay for this damage. The Office of Budget Responsibility, OBR, estimates a £200 billion cost to our economy, equivalent to 8% of GDP, if global temperatures continue to rise by an average of 3°C. We simply can't afford to stop progress and the transition to clean British energy. It really is a win-win from wind.
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this week are 5:37 a.m. and 8:36 p.m. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, Alexa, open the talking newspaper skill. Alexa will ask you which broadcast you want to listen to. When prompted, reply, play the decorum talking newspaper. This part can be tricky. If Alexa offers the wrong station, just say no and then try again. For those who are listening to this week's news via a memory stick, after the music, there is the amenities section that gives details of various groups and the contact details of organisations. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail post box. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. It's goodbye from us both, and Jake, your technician. Goodbye.